Hey guys, welcome to episode 12 of a Wrestling Gal podcast, providing you with a female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J, as today I'm joined by your brand new Coventry Pro Wrestling Women's Champion, Hannah Taylor. Now let's chat! Hello, everybody. Today I am joined by an amazing talent all the way from Liverpool, Hannah Taylor. So how are you doing today, girl?
I'm very well. I'm actually really nervous to be on the podcast. This is my first time, so I have like really bad anxiety in general, so I don't ever speak on the phone or anything like that, so an interview is even more daunting and terrifying.
Well, I'm glad to be your first guest, and I hope to make it as comfortable for you as I can.
It's fine. You like cats, so, like, I'm already super comfortable.
yeah, that's actually my first question, but yeah. Well, I wanted to start off with something we both have in common, which is actually that we're both proud cat moms. So tell me more about your fur babies.
Okay, so about four or five years ago, I volunteered at a cat rescue, and I kind of fell in love with it, even though it has it. Downside as well, because that's the side of rescue nobody really sees, so I've had like all sorts of horror stories, but I kind of volunteered there, and then I ended up taking in some of my own cats for the rescues, and then it kind of got more and more cats. I have my own place, like my own house, so it's not too bad, but I have like 14 cats.
Oh wow.
All of them are rescues. My house doesn't smell or anything, like, I'm super clean. And it's a big house as well, but some of them are like fosters, and then they got permanently ill, and it's really hard to be home those lots. And so all of mine have got some weird kind of background story. One of them was found in a fridge, and it's going to be used as dog bait. What else? Another cat who was bruised but passed away later this year. I'll tell you about Hank in a second as well. So Bruce was abused and by a previous owner. He passed away with a tumor. And then Hank, someone abandoned a pregnant cat, so I took her in. Unfortunately, all of her babies died, except Hank. And I had to bottle feel. It's not nice, but it's like part of the rescue. And I bottle fed Hank from like the first day old, because she wasn't producing milk. We didn't know her backstory. And then he passed away just before Christmas. And like, I think it kind of emulates how, I'm not saying it's the same, but for me, I don't want children. So when I was like bottle feeding this little kitten who was like days old, I imagine it's kind of like a mum like breastfeeding its kid or something. I was just like, oh my God, I can see my mum love their children now. So when he passed away, it was just the worst thing. So yeah,
I know.
I have a dog as well. He's a rescue dog. He's getting old now, but I don't like, I think everyone knows he's a cat lady. I think I hate dogs, but I love dogs just as much. I just don't have the time for more than one.
Animal lover, yeah.
Yeah, huge.
Oh, that's like honestly really cool though that you take all of these animals in. Like, it warms my heart, Hannah.
Oh, thank you. It's nice because there's like, when you hear like some of the stories, you think these animals, they hate people, but then I have this like weird bond with them, and cats have all very different personality, and I don't know, I have like really, I have some really bad depression and anxiety, and kind of like a little therapy as well. It's so hard to describe, because often when you're having a really, really bad day, and then like someone pops on your lap and starts like purring and crawling all over, it's like, oh, okay, it could be worse.
Fair. So something really interesting about you as well is that you were actually a part of the NXT UK tryout last year. So how was that experience?
It was terrifying. So I've only been training since back in JD maybe a year and a half, but in June, after like just over a year I've been training. So I got wind that they were potentially going to ask me for a tryout, and I was like, oh, I don't know about this. And then I said to Zach, look, I don't feel like I'm ready for it, because I'm still super new. I'm less than 30 matches in. In my mind, I'm still really green. You know, and I said to Zach, hey, I don't think I'm ready. If they do ask me, should I say no? And he was like, even if you're not ready, you take the tryout, because they might not ever ask you again. And don't think of it as an interview or anything like that. Just think of it as a learning curve, an experience for you. So I should do it. And he was like, yeah, you should definitely do it. You'd be stupid to say no. So I said yes, and it was just terrifying being there. So I got into the PC, and I don't know, it was like really overwhelming. I forgot my anxiety medication as well. So I was like, no. It was really good. We did, I can't even remember it, to be honest. We got free Nando's. That was really good. And then we got free Nando's every day. And all the girls there were super lovely. Because obviously when you're a girl and you hear all these stories, and I'm like, oh, girls are bitchy. It was my girl. Like, all the girls were so lovely. I met girls. I followed on Instagram for ages, like Mariah May. And she was just I was like, oh my god, Jeremy from Instagram, and she was like, hey, I followed you too. And that was just like really cool. Yeah, there was just really nice girls there, and everybody really supported each other as well, which I'm really not just saying that either, because you know that was generally the atmosphere there, and it was just really, really good and a good experience.
I also noticed that you went by the name Jessica Light then, but since then you've changed your in-ring name, so what prompted that?
Okay, so I made that ring name. I was at a school for a little bit before I went to that city, but I had, like, really, really bad experience at that school. That's, like, completely another story. And I was just struggling to come up with a wrestler name. I hate my real name. I don't know why. I think that's the thing that people have. They don't like their real name.
Uh-huh. You kept half of your real name.
Yeah, so what happened was, like, I had a cat called Jeff. When I was a kid, who I had when I was 9 years old. She passed away just before, obviously it's cat related, she passed away right before I had a pick of wrestling. And so I was like, oh, I'll name myself Jessica, like Jeff my cat as a little homage. I was obsessed with the anime Death Note for ages, so I was, oh, why don't I take White from Death Note, the anime, just got the character's name. And then I was like, oh, it's the White. And it just kind of came like that. I never really liked it, but some people told me it was good, so I kept it. I just never felt comfortable with it. And then I went to the tryout, and I was just speaking to one of the guys there. And he was recommending, like, you know, like, I do actually like the name, but I don't really think of you. And I just went, nah, mate, I hate it. It's awful. And they suggested, you know, going from Jessica Light to just Jessica, then go to Jeff. And I thought, well, I'm not really not known yet. I've not had a lot of matches. At the tryout, I think I was on match number 18 or something, or 17. So I was like, I've not got a lot of matches to myself, so I might as well just do it all now and go forward that way. And yeah, that's kind of how it went. And I kind of the real name. And I thought, well, it's better than Jessica. And it is my real name. And Taylor's one of the middle names. So I kind of thought, hey, Taylor, let's try that and see how it goes. But obviously, if you ever get signed to a big company anyway, sometimes they might want to change your name regardless. So. True.
Taking it back in time now a little bit, I know you watched wrestling, specifically WWE, when you were at a young age of 4. So how was that experience watching the Attitude Era at such a young age?
Well, I have, like, older brothers who were, I think, around 10 or 11 when the Attitude Era was on. And my second oldest brother, he was obsessed with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And he used to get all the merch from America. And my nan and granddad would record the Raws on VHS. And then we'd go to my granddad's and watch Raw. And I just kind of remember just watching it with him. I don't remember, like, all the episodes. I remember tidbits. And I just thought it was really cool. I'd have my older brothers choke on me into the sofa. And I remember, you know, getting the lap ride and being, like, loud. It was really cool. It wasn't fun. They were basically bullying me, but it's kind of like a memory. I look back and think they were dicks, but it was fun. And yeah, I just kind of just grew up watching it, and it was always just on there. And I'd watch it passively almost. And when I got to around 11 or 12, I got into it even more, and they kind of phased out watching it. I started watching it more religiously, and I'd run home from school because in the UK the pay per views were on it. I think 2 in the morning or 1 in the morning, so I'd run home from school on a Monday to put the pay-per-views on, and I'd run home on a Tuesday afternoon after school to put Monday Night Raw on because it would be recorded. And that's just, yeah. I was, like, the only one in my family that watched wrestling at that time, and I always kept it a secret in school as well because I thought
me too.
It was really lame to watch wrestling, and I was obsessed with Jeff Hardy. And
I know.
Yeah, I remember having the Hardy Boys pendant necklace. I got it from the WWE shop. Like a birthday present, I think, but I used to wear that underneath my school uniform as well. I used to go to school as a secret wrestling fan with, like, a secret Jeff Hardy necklace underneath. It was just really, really cool. And then I think when I got to like 14, my family started, my little brother started watching wrestling a lot more. He was obsessed with Rey Mysterio. And then I woke up really early one morning, I think like 8 in the morning, to wait for Mania to get ringside seats for Monday Night Raw. And all my family came, and that was the first show I ever saw. And the first show I've seen live was, I think it was a HBK Jericho feud. And I just remember, I think, Jericho putting HBK and the Wolf Jericho on top of the taxi. And I was like, Rest War. And yeah, that was it.
And another thing we have in common, which you already kind of mentioned, is that we have the literal same wrestling influences. Our WWE queen, Mickie James, Jeff Hardy, Edge, and the Motor City Machine Guns.
Yes.
And I know you give some credit to Mickie James towards inspiring you to become a pro wrestler. So can you please explain her influence on you?
Oh, I don't know where to begin. So Mickie was always my favorite when I was watching. I think it was like a gear. I was obsessed with her bell bottoms. I've actually just messaged my gear maker today to see if I can get some bell bottoms made instead of the shorts I wear at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And my very first wrestling gear was pinstriped but burgundy. And I think there's a moment, which was Mickie James' influence. So I don't know. I think when I was watching, when I was like, well, I always kind of felt, even though she was like a decorated champion, I still kind of felt she always got a bit of a shortfall. I just feel that she could have done so much more during her time, and that's not her fault. And I don't know, I think it was the storyline with Beth Phoenix as well, where she was just a underdog, but the way she kind of just evoked sympathy when I was like watching it, and when I cried when she finally won the title from Beth and the London match, there's just something really likable and charismatic about her, and sympathetic about her as well. I can't describe it, and I love her moves as well. I do like the Mickie James one, says Beth. Tornado DDT is my near school as well. And then I think like 14 or 15, when she kind of, you kind of discover the internet wrestling community, that's what I did anyway. And I started looking at old Mickie James stuff. So this is when she was in OVW.
Alexis Lurie.
And then I started finding like ordering the Bomber stuff. One of my favorite matches I remember was like Sumiya Sakai. And then I think that's on YouTube. And I ended up like purchasing some of these matches. Like you could buy them for like 99p. I was like 15 with a bank card, it was, like £10. I could buy like 10 Alexis Lurie matches. And there's just some stuff from NXT Maryland Championship Wrestling, I think, that I got as well. So I had matches dating back to like 2000, 2001. And this was around 2009. So I was thinking, oh man, she was like so cool like back then as well. Like, she really paid her dues. It wasn't just like she got signed because the way she looked. She obviously looked amazing, but she really paid her dues and worked her ass off to get there.
Absolutely.
And that's something like I really admired as well. So especially in that era as well, is where a lot of design based on the way they looked. So that was, yeah. So she was like one of the reasons I really wanted to get into wrestling. I've always like had a dream of that I could debut into the degree one day as like Mickey Walker.
That'd be awesome. It's like a dream. Okay, so now we gotta talk Jeff Hardy, because you literally have Jeff-inspired gear, which looks really rad, might I add. So what is your favorite Jeff Hardy moment?
Oh, God. Probably his Armageddon title win in 2008.
That was actually in my hometown, by the way, where he won that title, which is crazy.
I stayed up to watch it live, because I had a feeling that he was finally gonna win, because there was this whole storyline about Jeff almost got the brass ring, and I was obsessed. I remember when I was like 13 or 14, I posted this on my Twitter before, I changed his Wikipedia page to say that he was married to okay. And then I got banned from Wiki for like 9 or 10 months for like alt editing. I was obsessed with him, like it was ridiculous. But he was just so cool, and obviously everyone's got, I was a weird girl in school, but I didn't have, that's like genuinely true with me. I didn't have many friends in school. I was like a bit of a geek. I was like a closet wrestling fan. So Jeff was always like a weirdo. So obviously he appealed like everyone. He was a good looking guy. So he appealed to certain women. He was like the cool rock star. So he appealed to guys. He did mad spots and mad wrestling. So he appealed to just a general wrestling fan. And then he appealed to like, you know, the kind of outcast. The appeal gave such a broad range, like even more than Cena at one point. He was outselling Cena on merch.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read about his outside lifestyle, because obviously this is back in the day of MySpace, so you could have like Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy and your top six friends. because she always like outside life, and that was like really cool as well. But yeah, I kind of figured like if I was gonna, you know, take influences from people in fight, and like put that into my gear, or the way I wrestle, or the way I look.
And it seems like you're definitely drawn to characters with lots of charisma. So is that a quality you've input to your character, Hannah Taylor, as well?
No. So this is where I'm struggling less than. Like I said, I'm still so new. And part of, like, the issue I have with wrestling is like, the confidence. And I agree, like, as I do, for some people, it actually helps with their anxiety. And you feel like they're in the ring less than now. You know, they come out the shell, whereas with me, it's the opposite. I get more nervous in the ring. And I did film at uni, so I feel like I belong behind the camera, not in front of it. I'm kind of hoping it gets better over time, because when I'm just trying to see people outside of wrestling, I would get totally really charismatic or really bubbly. Then when I feel like I never, it just kind of goes shriveled and hides away from whatever. Something I'm really trying to work on. I feel it is there, and it's just kind of trying to get out, and it's just finding a kind of persona or a look or a way to wrestling really kind of gets it out. But when I speak like Zach and JD and my teachers over it, they just say, look, it just comes in time. I've had some really good advice. Like Alex Shelley, really good advice. I was like, I can't remember what was it? It was just to do with like character work. He said to me, just you can't actually help with it, but he said, you were like 12 years old and you were wrestling. What was cool to you back then? Don't try and, I couldn't remember what it was. You just like try and remember what was cool to you when you were 12 years old. Do that. Smooth stuff that went between yourself and your friends. And it will all seem to work out. And I was like, no one's ever said that before. And it was like really good advice. I'm sat here thinking, what was cool to me when I was 12 years old and I got to do that? And all of a sudden it will start clicking for you and it'll start working. Fine. That's what I'm going to try and do now.
I think you're doing quite well, and that's great advice to get from one of your favorites too, Alex Shelley.
He's just like a complete professional as well, and he was just really cool, like helping me. It was just really nice to have people that I looked up to help me. I remember meeting Mickey James backstage when I was doing like some extra work last year. Oh, the fact that it was 2018 now, and I was backstage just doing extra work. We didn't even really have to do anything. Like, Mickey James was there, and I was like, sat right behind me, and I never spoke to her. And I was like, oh my god, this is my hero. So it came to the end of the night, and I was like, okay. And it was like, I could just go say bye to everyone. So I said the same twice, and I went to say bye to Mickey. And when I went to say goodbye, I went, hi. And then she was like, smiling. And I was like, I'm Hannah, by the way. I just want to say that you're like a huge inspiration to me getting into wrestling. I can't remember exactly what I said, but I was mumbling on my words. I was shaking. And then she was like, oh my god, sweetie, that's so nice. And then she gave me a hug and I was like, you know, to cry. Uh-huh. And she was just so sweet and it was just like so cool. She probably thought I was a weirdo. I don't know. Cause it was like on the verge of tears.
No, I cried when I met her too. I've met her multiple times now, but the first time I like was basically almost crying. So
I sound like such a mark here, and in the head I'm thinking, oh my god, I did not say that. But I didn't care because I turned into full fangirl mode, and I was like, I've been following your stuff since you were Alexis Lorraine. And she just seemed like so kind of like just lovely. I so much just talking about it. That's pretty cool.
And you started training at Fight Spirit Pro Wrestling under James Drake and Zach Gibson in 2018, if I'm correct. So how was it transitioning from being a longtime wrestling fan to actually stepping into the ring?
It was weird. So you go in and you just expect to just be moves, because you don't have, I feel like it's really, I imagine it's like you go from watching films to trying to make a film. So obviously I've done both now, so she was really daunting and I was really scared at first. I actually went to a previous school for a few months before Zach and JD, but it wasn't very good, and it was like an inappropriate teacher and that kind of put me off. So I ended up going Fight in Spirit and Zach and JD were just lovely. I already knew some of the basics from like my previous school. And they just kind of took me under their wing and I was like the only girl at the school at the time, I think. I don't know, I didn't know what Shine was. I had an idea of a comeback, but I didn't know how matches should be structured. I didn't know anything about character work. I didn't know anything about selling. I didn't know anything about how a match should flow. So they were like, what's your shine? And I was shine. And I didn't have any finishes. It was just little things like that. And they just taught me the right way, and the good way, and what I think is one of the better ways as well. So they're like really good people as well. It was just a scary thing. It was also really fun. And it's something I'd always wanted to do since I was like a teenager. So I was thinking, okay, I'm finally doing it. Let's see where I go. Like a year and a half later or whatever, I was like, I'll try out. So that was cool.
Yeah, that's like goals right there.
I know.
And you've been in the rings with some awesome talent like Isla Dawn, Mariah May, and Lucia Lee, but is there a certain opponent you believe you just connect with in the ring, like in-ring chemistry?
I actually had a really good match with Lucia Lee. Like, she was really fun to her, not only fun matches, but like in the ring and afterwards as well. Isla was amazing. I'm trying to think. I'd probably say Lucia more than anyone at the moment that I feel like I've really had chemistry with, because I kind of am usually like a babyface everywhere, but with her I just kind of take a bit of between a heel role.
Uh-huh.
And she made it work so much better for me. And I don't know, in the ring there was just like something there where I feel we've only had one match. I feel like I had another even better. And I don't know, probably definitely Lucia, I'd say. And I'm really excited for her again.
I also want to note that you have a bachelor's degree in film studies, which definitely entails storytelling. So how has it been connecting the art of storytelling into your craft of wrestling?
I'm not really, because I've had like less than 30 matches, I feel like I'm still learning from other people, and I'm usually wrestling people more experienced than me, so I prefer to listen to them, but at the same time, storytelling is going from point A to point B. And making it all make sense, though. You can, with a wrestling match, things might not make sense. Sometimes when you're doing storytelling, it helps to think that, okay, that thing in wrestling doesn't make sense. If you translate it into a film, that'll be like a spot hole. It helps you know what makes sense, what looks good, and whether the story makes sense as well. So I'm hoping that when I want some more experience, I can definitely be more forthcoming with. At the moment, because I'm still saying no, I like listening to the people who are more experienced than me, because at the end of the day, you get better by wrestling better people.
Absolutely. And so I also assume you have exquisite taste in movies. So can you name a couple of your favorite films?
Oh, God. definitely Inglourious Basterds. That's one of my favorite films. I like films with rewatch value. I love Shaun of the Dead. I love horror movies. Like
Me too. Uh-huh.
That's really good. I like The Third Man. I think it's a 1949 film. It's Orson Welles, like Full Metal Jacket, Seven, anything by Martin Scorsese, and Clint Eastwood, anything with Tom Hanks as well. There's just too many out there. I love 80 films as well. Like the 80s are definitely my favorite thing. Anything from the 80s as well, good and bad.
And before I let you go shortly, can you please tell me some of your goals, whether professional or personal, for the year 2020?
I think it's really funny. I want to try and reach 50 matches, which I think is really doable. I want to wrestle Charlie Adams in the
McKenzie. Oh, yes.
And then, for just a long-term goal, I don't think it'll happen in 2020, but I really want to wrestle in Japan. Maybe it's like Sendai or Stardom. Japan is
Stardom would be great, yeah.
I want to go to, so that would be even better. I want to do more intergender wrestling as well. That's one of my goals in 2020. Because there's a wrestler I know, and he gave me some advice, and he just said to me that one of the best ways to improve is actually to wrestle guys. And that's something that I just want to do more intergender wrestling as well, because it's really good wrestling girls, and then girls have something to offer, but so do guys too. So I think it's good to make these, for me anyway. And it's just like, you know, wrestle both, and then you've got, you know, two different types of working on this. Definitely want to mention more as well.
Absolutely. And can you please tell the listeners where they can find and follow you on social media?
I don't you might. I think it's Hannah Taylor Wrestler on Instagram. And then I think Twitter is Hannah Taylor Pro.
Yes.
I think it's something like that. Because when I changed my name, I'll do this. And when people ask me now, I'm like, which one is it? I was getting mixed up. So.
Well, this was fun. Thank you so much again for chatting with me today. I feel like we like are kind of the same persons in regards to our
definitely.
Favorites and cat ladies.
As well, you're in New York, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, if you're ever in New York, we should definitely hang out. and I want to, like, meet your cat. And if you're ever in the UK, you can come over and meet my cat. Well, a million of them.
Well, I actually only have one right now because the other one died last month, as you saw, but we're probably getting a new one soon.
Oh, you've always got more love to give back.
And that about does it for this episode of A Wrestling Gal Podcast. I loved talking to Hannah Taylor. She's one of those fresh new names who I've been watching actually since last year, middle of last year. And she's really coming up, really making her way, really making a name for herself. And so I think she is one to watch. She just won the Coventry Pro Wrestling Women's Champion from Lucia Lee. And I feel like she's only going up from here. So I highly suggest watching her and following her at Hannah Taylor Pro on Twitter. So just keep following her, guys. She's gonna be something big. I can feel it. Thanks again.